Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour talking all things Tennessee Titans. As always, we encourage your participation on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Lots of reaction to Joe's rant on the text line. Lots of reaction to PK's reaction to Joe's rant on the text line. I think Joe stands by it, though. He feels good about himself.
Well, I just...
He's not going to have people cutting him off, and he's made that clear.
I mean, don't make me displace my anger. I couldn't punch him, so you're the nearest thing to me. So
don't want to see that.
Scary.
Don't want to see that. We got another day of OTAs for the Titans today where you guys will be out there on the field. What do we expect, PK, on the Tavondre Sweat front, who – obviously missed some time last week at OTA.
Sweat has a chance to be out there. Jalen Duncan, who's the other guy we know was rehabbing, I don't think will be out there today. That is what I know. Immediately I tweet that and somebody says, what about NPF? Well, if I knew something about NPF, I would have said something about NPF. I don't think NPF, if he was rehabbing his shoulder last week, won't be rehabbing his shoulder this week. But I don't know that. What I did is I told you what I knew.
Yes.
What did Duncan get hurt last year?
No.
No. This is not like a end of season lingering thing. No,
these are new.
New injuries.
New stuff.
So what about NPF?
Don't know. Presume he's rehabbing the shoulder, but don't know.
Yeah.
What do you got on NPF? Anything?
No.
Think he's going to talk today?
Counting on you.
Do we think he's going to talk today? I think the odds, you and I are both really want to talk to NPF, and I think the odds of us talking to a rehabbing guy are zero.
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate. I mean, you know, I feel like, here and there, some guys, like in the midst of a season, if they're hanging around the locker room, they'll talk. It's not like there's a hard and fast rule, right? I mean,
no. When they want a guy not to talk, then they make it like it's a hard and fast rule.
Right. I mean, obviously.
I'll take Sadiq Charles.
That's who you requested today?
Well, in lieu of NPF. Yeah.
Okay.
For an offensive line good story, luck with that. Which is something I'd like to continue to pursue and talk about. I'll take Sadiq Charles.
Okay.
I don't think that'll happen either.
That probably won't happen either. So it's going to be 3-3 again? Three coming off the field, 3 at the podium?
Yeah.
I think that's the expectation.
That is very different from ever in Titans history.
We could play guess the available players. Who are the next most team-friendly players?
I
Cushenberry.
NWI. We haven't got an NWI
no
yet.
No NWI yet? Oh, boy.
If they give us NWI today,
are you going to get mad and shake your fist at them?
I will.
Will you write down their license plate number?
I will tweet and perhaps write about them making a drastic error in PR.
There you go. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
I mean, NWI is a key guy. Seriously,
you should have done that last week and you didn't.
Who are the key guys who have not talked? Who are the key, who are going to be starters, who are going to be significant players, obviously like...
NPF?
Well, they could roll...
that's true.
They can roll Ridley through. They could roll Cushenberry through. They could roll... Sneed's probably not practicing, so they're a woozy. It could be like...
Are you reporting that? Sneed's probably not practicing?
No, I'm not reporting that. I'm not expecting him to. They could roll new guys through today. Awuzie, Murray, if he's practicing. Simmons if he's there. Are we thinking Simmons will be there? I see.
If
we don't
so,
even
he's got to be one of them.
Yes. I would,
but
I
we don't
so.
Even know if he's there. And if they roll Simmons out, there'll be questions about him not being there last week, which will be sticky, so they might want to avoid that. I mean, if they're avoiding all, you know, sticky situation stuff, they could hide Simmons even.
You think they're really that fearful of it? I mean, it's just obvious run-of-the-mill.
You were the guy who was talking like they were fearful of everything last week. I didn't go as far
well,
as
no,
you
I Well, I'm just – I mean, obviously, there's a lot of limitations. I mean, that's just a limitation in general of people talking. But, you know, I
they
mean,
could
I
roll
mean,
out,
the idea of, like, Simmons –
they could roll out Folk.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that would be super safe.
Would it be? Some kickers say some dumbass stuff out there.
NWI. I'm going
Stonehouse
all,
still rehabbing.
All
talking
here.
About real
no, Stonehouse. Stonehouse is still rehabbing. There would be questions about that. That would be scary.
Is Stonehouse going to be ready for the season?
I think it's yeah. I think he's probably ready for the season. I requested Arden Key, but Arden Key they've talked about being limited, so there'll be questions about his limitations. So they probably won't want that, right? Luke Gifford would be safe. Nobody could be cut because he's due $2 million, so he wouldn't be that safe. Brunskill is falling down the depth chart. He's not safe. Let's see here. Raidens is rising. He could be safe. I'm running out of people. I'm down into the 70s. Christian Berry's safe.
Speaking of Raidens, you know.
Josh Wiley might be safe. He's on the rise.
Okay. This is I'm
Chig.
You're getting everybody very excited yeah. for today.
Chig safe. Yeah, this is thrilling stories. Coburn, pretty safe right now. Friends with the new draft pick.
Wow.
Rashad Weaver, questions about him. I mean, they're out of super safe.
Speaking of Dylan Raidens, Trevor Maddich.
You know who they could bring out? All the guys they brought out last week.
They could just recycle them through.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, get familiarity. This will be the crew.
That'd be good.
I think I my guess would be heavy on new guys.
Okay.
Heavy on new veterans.
All right.
Yeah, like a Woozy'd be fine. But Raidens.
Morgan Cox. Bang.
Thank you. Can I make my point on Raidens? Or are you going to keep interrupting me?
This is good
Trevor Maddich is bullish on him. Speaking of, we talk about Callahan being bullish on Will Levis. So
yeah.
Trevor Maddich is super impressed with Dylan Raidens. And I love Trevor's analysis on Jared's show, especially, obviously,
that
offensive
makes,
line analysis.
That makes one of us.
Yeah? No, you're not a fan? I think he's really good. Go ahead. If you got a problem,
I mean,
say
I just
something.
Think the amount of people in the country who are hanging on Trevor Maddich's every word is Jared.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think he's good. He does ESPN college football. He's pretty good on that, too.
Yeah. And the Titans are pro football, so.
That's true. So when he goes to a practice as a guy who played in the league and played college football, played at the highest level, you don't think that he has any value to add in terms of evaluating offensive linemen?
I think he has value to add, but I think when one person comes to one practice and takes a snapshot of it, I take it as one person having one snapshot of one practice.
Okay. Well, all due respect to you, me, anybody else who's out there every day, he still sees things that we don't see because we're not professional offensive linemen.
No, I agree with that entirely.
Okay.
But, again, when like the training camp things, I think people put too much in. When Ian Rappaport comes by and sees one practice, he might see NWI have a great day. And
right.
then all season he goes, you know, I really like that Nick Westbrook-Akina from the Titans. He was really good the day I was
so
down.
So, again, this turns into you ripping NWI somehow.
It just turns into me, and this is universal. If you come and see one day, your snapshot of that one day overrides a lot of things. And body of work is far more important than one day snapshot.
That's fine.
For anybody.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a difference also between like one day a receiver gets some opportunities, makes some plays, and one day of watching an offensive lineman technique, even whatever shape he's in. I mean, I think that there's a little more value than just like, I mean, did he have a good day or is he seeing things, especially contrasting them to he went to camp last year and watched him, sees growth and progress. I think there's something to that.
I'd be far more interested in hearing his one day opinion of offensive linemen on a padded day in August than on a workout day in May.
Well, speaking, and no disrespect to Trevor Maddich, but like the Raiden stuff for me it's kind of in the same ballpark as the Burke stuff. Like, okay, I've heard enough about radiance in camp and radiance in practice. If it doesn't translate to the field, like, what are we talking about with it? Is he a starting player now?
Is this
he a starting
of,
level
is
guard?
This part yeah, of that he's a tackle?
Like, what is that?
Is this part fueling part of the Stilley, he's the right tackle stuff?
Well, that's what Stilley has used to fuel that. But I will say that I have never before this heard anybody say, ooh, Raiden's look good. Like, Burks did look good in practice last year. We saw it not materialize. Raiden's, has he ever looked good in practice?
I don't know enough about offensive line generally outside of those padded practices to come out of a May practice and say, "Ooh, somebody looked really good."
Sure.
I don't think Callahan will tell you that in a May practice like this, he's rarely going to walk back into the building and go, "Whoo, somebody really blew my socks off today."
Right. So basically, the final conclusion is this is all meaningless crap.
Most of it. I mean, there was a post yesterday about somebody really threaded Trevor Lawrence threaded the needle deep to somebody. It was a defenseless period. Yes, no defenders on the field.
It was a very nice looking pass.
It was a great looking pass. Nice. I saw the video.
I mean,
that's
good
the
spiral.
Biggest needle threading ever. The biggest needle in the history.
No pass
of
rush. No coverage.
If there were defenders there, man, that would have been threading that
good
needle.
Dime.
Yeah.
And we do this every year. We start to we give these things credence. This is another. I'll jump the gun on this. This NFLPA idea of restructuring the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pipe dream. The NFL's never going to give up May and June where all this hope builds and these conversations like Trevor Lawrence is threading the needle and Jacksonville's hope is sky high because he's threading the needle. And we're talking to the six most optimistic Titans who wouldn't say, you know, they stubbed their toe in a drill. They're never going to give that up. It's free positive publicity for 2 months. And the NFL's PA is saying, let's move that. Let's get away from that. Yeah. Let's give the players those months off. NFL's never going to cede months in the calendar when they own the sporting calendar. They found a way to have something in every month except for 5 or 6 weeks in June and July.
Please.
Don't you think?
One mute. God, you got me muting now. I've been really good about not muting. I was just going to say, please give me hope that you're wrong. But, yeah, I think
I think he makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Coming up next, taking your thoughts on all things Titans, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park, your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Paul Kuharsky, David Janes here with you on this Wednesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. PK, we discussed the Albert Breer piece on Will Levis, Brian Callahan earlier in the show. Lots of different takeaways from that piece that we talked about. You can check that out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. What did you make of the piece from Albert Breer? What did you learn from that piece about Brian Callahan, Will Levis, that dynamic, and how that's gone to this point?
Well, I never thought they were going to be drafting a quarterback. Doesn't make much sense, especially with the resources that they've spent on quarterbacks over the last several years. But I thought the most interesting thing was the way Callahan talked about, like, you've got to give the guy the space to go, you know, have a chance to make some mistakes and not think that we're looking over his shoulder to the next option. And he hasn't really articulated that to this point. And I thought it was very reassuring to Levis. And it made a lot of sense, and it fits in with what I think the three of us have expressed in the way that they should be approaching the quarterback spot. And, you know, if you extrapolate that out, it fits in with what I think we've said about you need to use those picks to help surround the quarterback that you have with better people to help him do his job rather than continue to spend resources at the position. So I thought that was really interesting about you know, going all in on Will Levis. And then I thought, you know, kind of the banter that Levis had in that conversation about being self-critical in his kind of it's sometimes hard to read it on paper, right, and get his tone.
Yeah.
And maybe people who aren't fans of the Titans read that and didn't get the tone. I thought the tone, you know, knowing him and being able to hear his voice was very clear in that piece, the way he was making fun of himself and saying stupid throw and everything. But the one throw in the Atlanta game, I think, where he had, who was it, Chig in the flat, yep, for an easy first down, and instead threw to
Burks
deep on what wound up incomplete, but was still an excellent, excellent throw out of a messy situation, kind of illustrated, you know, everything there is to know about Will Levis was very interesting.
What about just the,
you're having trouble,
dude? Another mute.
What's happening to you?
God, PK's got me all flustered today.
You scared? There's a white F-150 in the parking lot over there.
Show off the finger. You had let your anger out.
Let your anger. What is it?
Let the hate flow through you.
Yes, there you go. Let the hate flow through you. Yeah, next time I will choose violence per PK's advice. Yes, kids, say no to school, say yes to drugs, and get into fights whenever you can.
I don't want you shot.
PK story.
That's the problem.
Just want to fight. I had a mute, too.
There we go. We're a mess. What about the fact that he said that they like him better than any quarterback in the draft this year?
I mean, that might be a little bit of a stretch. But again, you know, the way he didn't look at Levis very much because they had Burrow. He didn't look at Caleb Williams very much this year because they had Levis. So, you know, I think it's okay to stretch that a little bit. I talked to people at the owners' meetings about where Levis fit in to this draft class, and many said third, which I think would have been reasonable, and the Titans
third over who's fourth then? May? Daniels.
I think they thought Daniels second.
And May fourth. Brian Levis.
And May fourth.
That's high praise. I mean, Drake May in terms of talent is
pretty good.
Yeah, significant. I'm with you on the Callahan thing. It's beyond the Titans. It's kind of the mindset of the NFL, right? You're doing a disservice to guys to make them compete for a job. Remember how that used to be such a different mindset, right? Yeah. It's like if you could get competition at that position, obviously, I think competition is still valued wherever you can get it. But at quarterback, it's like you got to get out of the way, let them know that they're the guy, let them make mistakes.
Right.
And then, of course, you make way quicker decisions on them than you used to make.
Well, look at cycles. And I think, you know, when your guy brought up the Drake May thing and got 2 weeks of content out of a scenario that was never conceivable.
Amazing how you keep bringing him up. No one else bringing him up.
Well, it's pertinent here. The idea that you had to have competition out of that scenario and everything. Look, it's cycles. At some point, you pick your guy and you go with him. And I thought all along that they had to do that here. And again, spending all those resources, trading up for Malik and then trading up for Levis, at some point you have to, if you like the guy, give it to him and let him run with it. And use the resources that, you know, you're talking about using the seventh pick on another quarterback. You need that resource to be something for your team, which is depleted roster-wise from bad decisions, from a bad pick with Malik Willis, where you used two picks, et cetera, et cetera. So I think at some point you have to let him breathe. Now, if Willis had shown, if Levis had shown absolutely nothing last year, then maybe it's a little different.
Yeah.
But even then, I don't think so. If your new coach comes in and likes him. You know, if your new coach comes in, likes him, makes a case for him, at some point you have to let that guy breathe. You get the veteran backup that you like, which they did in Mason Rudolph, and you have to let the guy go.
It's interesting. They also in this piece talk about kind of like his makeup, and there's all the stupid stuff that we've talked about with like the mayonnaise and that stuff. But there is like the sometimes maybe he's wound a little too tightly. He's a little too intense, if that makes any sense. And like reining that back in. We talked about this earlier. Like I would much rather have that, like having to rein it back and dial it back than the other way around. But like that process with Callahan, given his background and working with Manning and Stafford and Burrow and like the different personalities he's managed at quarterback, I'm interested to see like tangibly this year, can we see growth in that area from Levis? Where, I mean, last year he's trying to endear himself to teammates, he's running people over, he's doing all this stuff. Do we see a noticeable kind of pullback from him in some of those areas this year and year two under Callahan?
I thought beyond the football side, but it connects to the football side, that Rand told him pre-Callahan, like, hey, if the mayonnaise and the coffee and the eating a banana with the peel on it is just you being you, cool. Live that life and go with it. But if there's any, like, shtick to it for social media and all of that, get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I think
you can't get rid of it. It's on the internet.
No, but, like, stop
don't
doing
continue.
That.
Has he done anything?
Stop doing it going forward. But maybe he stopped doing it going forward based on Rand's advice. You know, I thought that was good advice from Rand. Like, if that's you, cool. But if that's you kind of like trying to create product, so to speak, quit it.
I mean, if I get a Hellman's deal, which he did, I'm doing those commercials. And he does. And they're good.
He did.
But that's different.
I just thought it was good advice, and it translates to the football kind of stuff that you're talking about, Robbie.
Yeah.
And I think he's taking it. You know,
didn't he do something like when he was throwing a ball through a tire or something like that? Something still he freaked out about it. You know what I'm talking about?
It was on it was like an Instagram story where he was doing something.
That's what the kids do, though, right? Like to some extent,
I think that's different, though. Like that's different than the
getting in that grind,
right? Well,
it's footballish.
Right.
Yeah, sounds like.
It's footballish, but it's also
It'd be better if you could remember what it was.
I don't think think that Rand or anybody
Rex Roadish.
I don't think anybody wants him to like abandon social media. But I think the point was don't get bogged down in that kind of stuff if you're worried about that. Like that stuff will take care of itself if you take care of the football part of it.
Mix in a little mustard.
And I think he's I think we'd all agree he's a completely authentic guy. He's not faking anything or making stuff up.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, another part of this, we've talked about it, but you know, you can question like the Callahan comment, I think, to Bustin' with the Boys, right? Which is like he's a big part of why I took this job.
Yeah.
No, what percentage of it was it? I mean, who knows? But Brian Callahan was going to get a head coaching job. He was on track to get a head coaching job. He didn't have to have this head coaching job, right?
Yeah, two more interviews lined up after that.
He was going to Carolina and Atlanta.
So
he got the best of the three. Well, Atlanta's a pretty good job. Carolina was a bad job. So, you know, he got one of the two best jobs. And the fact of the matter is a team didn't let him out the door, which is really good.
I don't think you're going to let yourself not be let out the door if you had serious misgivings about the QB that you're about to inherit.
I would agree.
Knowing that the Kirk Cousins job. But the other thing is you don't know for sure you're getting that Atlanta job. Look, you get an offer as a coordinator who hasn't called plays, and you feel good about the plays, generally speaking. You don't have to be in love with the quarterback to take the job.
You don't have to, but if you really doubted him, you know.
Well, if you really doubt him, you take the job, and you know you get a free pass on the first quarterback is the other thing.
Is that what's happened here? Is he just lying to us?
No.
He's actually can't stand him and wants him out of here?
But if he doesn't –
Paul Kaharsky reports.
If he doesn't pan out, it's not really on Callahan.
Right.
It hurts Callahan because Callahan's a quarterback developer.
Yeah.
But ultimately he can say – he wasn't what I thought. We couldn't make it work. Now let me choose.
Right. I have a counter to that. actually.
Okay, we'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com is with us here on the program. Rex Road.
Who is monitoring Rex Road? Because I think he's stealing text line questions for his athletic mailbag.
To answer your question, no one is monitoring Rex Road, which could be a very dangerous thing.
That'd be funny if I did that.
Why don't you go the other
way? Athletic mailbag. What's wrong with Jared Stillman? Why is he such an idiot?
Yeah.
A full mailbag of that.
Yeah.
Steal some of your mailbag questions.
Put it on the text line.
You know what? I will. I got one that I really like. I'll give you the general idea,
he doesn't want to plagiarize it.
Well, yeah. I mean, Doug P. wrote out a very nice question. That'll be in the mail. But we've talked some about the stadium, right?
Yeah.
Which I've always kind of just, you know, glazed over when people are talking about, well, the Titans need to, like, have a great team.
Right.
Any NFL team would love to be good in 2027, but they can't figure out how to be good in 2024. You're trying to build a good team. Yes, you hope to have a good team. I do think that this year, and let me ask you this, PK, is there any correlation between the spending, which was quite significant for Titans standards, I would say, and even relative to the NFL, and they are selling. They are selling right now. They are to basically have as good a team as possible this year in the short term to help sell. Right now? What do you think?
I mean, I think it's probably a happy coincidence, if you will. I mean, they can't – if they didn't spend all of that cap money, like, what would their rationale have been?
Yeah, I mean, it made sense for them to use the cap space. She said they were going to use the cap space after they fired Vrabel.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, maybe a little bit more encouragement. Yeah.
I mean
– Legarius looks good.
Half of NFL media is bewildered why they would spend the money when Will Levis is the quarterback. Well, why would you do that?
Yeah,
that is just a puzzling train of thought. Like, no matter who the quarterback is, why can't you
maximize your roster?
Why can't you maximize your roster and give it the best chance possible?
It's not like 2000s college football where you have a 5-year plan to get good. I mean, you know.
But
you need to be good quickly in this league or you lose your job.
Look, I mean, I think it overlaps. You want to have the best team you can have. She's got new leadership people in position, so she didn't bring in a new coach to give him garbage, gave him assurances. She gave Brinker and Carthon assurances. She's given the fan base assurances. And at the same time, they're trying to sell PSLs and get people excited. So for the sake of all of it, she let them spend money on people that give them a much better football team. Also, they had bottomed out, and she saw what happened under Tommy Smith and Ken Wisenhunt in terms of the pain of bottoming out record-wise and how hard that is to dig out of. And she feels like digging out of 6-11 or whatever they were last year is bottom enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you are the Titans, if you're ownership, and you've got a reasonably entertaining 8-9 win team, which I think is possible. That's certainly better than a 4-5 win team, right?
No doubt.
You're trying to, you know, you might. I mean, because I mean, I know that the people usually just say this stuff and they don't. But it's always, you know, you always see like if a team's terrible, like why would I ever pay? You know, and some people follow through, I suppose, on that, right?
That like, makes
if the product's it, really bad.
If then, that's your rationale, though, like if that's why you're quote-unquote spending money, it makes even more sense to do it because a lot of the answer, like if people are going to get excited about this franchise moving forward, comes down to Levis. Like if Levis is really good, there's your answer to people getting excited about the franchise moving forward right there.
Well, there's a very low percentage of this roster that will see 2027 in new Nissan Stadium.
But he could be a very highly paid quarterback for
and a
that
very
team.
Important piece. Yes.
That's the hope. So your point on Callahan, the one thing I would say is there's still cost for him.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to lose his job if Levis is terrible, right? Because he just got here, he inherited him. But that's why he is where he is, right? That's why he is where he is,
yeah,
because
quarterback
of what
guru.
He's done with quarterbacks. And so, yes, you can blame Levis, but like, look, you can just say, look, he wasn't good enough, that he just didn't take, whatever. But I'm reading these stories too, and I mean, Callahan has belief in him. Callahan is. And I don't think he's doing it strategically. He's just being asked questions, and he genuinely thinks a lot of him. But that's also raising the expectations for Levis, no?
Well, yes. And I think a couple of the things, another thing in here that was, you know, you can fix decision-making, he said outright in this, which I was a little bit surprised by because I think the second thing on the list of things that we think is hard to fix, accuracy is number one.
Yep.
Decision making at this stage, you can improve it, but fix, I think he said, is a strong word, right? So you are putting a lot on yourself there, saying, you know, that the decision that he made there to throw that deep ball that we talked about last segment, going for Burks when you have Chig open in the flat. Well, yeah, you can fix that. You can convince him to go less hero ball and more sensible and take the first down. Sure, you can fix that. But he came into the league with the two questions being accuracy and decision making. So those are big fixes, big yep. fixes. So you're being, I don't want to say cocky, but you're being very confident about being able to improve a guy on two things that are very difficult to improve. So he's showing not only great confidence in Levis there, he's showing great confidence in himself.
Well, I think the other part of that is if it doesn't work out with Levis, that probably means that the offense as a whole is not very good. And that then you start to get into, well, okay, how much of that was Levis? How much of that is the play calling? That goes hand in hand with you being the play caller too, right? Like how much of that was the play calling? How much of that was the system you're running? I mean, it's that conversation, if Levis doesn't work out, will fire up.
And then it's a
Brian
big
Callahan.
Setback timing-wise,
yeah.
right? I mean, Boyd's only a one-year contract, right? But he's older. Hopkins isn't going to be around for the prime of the next quarterback. Pollard probably is going to be around for the prime of the next quarterback. You know, you start counting off who's around. You know, Snead's not going to be around for the prime of the next quarterback. Simmons maybe not, you know.
Yeah, that's
you start
the league,
ticking
right?
off.
Yeah.
Right. You start ticking off this roster, which looks very good to a lot of us right now. So much better. But if you're going this year and next year for Levis and it burns out and then you got to get another guy who needs a year and a half to get up to snuff, all of a sudden we are in the new stadium watching this team, and the rosters had to be replenished again.
But they'll be excited about Nico. I mean, they'll be excited.
Yeah, or Arch Manicone.
Arch.
But the flip side of that, like to me, if he's good, like if things work out really well this year, then yes, people are going to start talking about, well, by the time the stadium comes around, things could be going really well. But to me, you flip immediately to 2025. Like if Levis is really good, you basically, if you're Carthon, have to view it as we've got one more year of him under cost control where you can really surround him with as best possible of a roster as you can. And that's where the conversation goes after that. Like how do you maximize what's around Levis while he's still cheap and under that contract? The Texans have done it immediately after Stroud had his great year. And that's what – like that would assume if Levis is great this year – that's what the mindset of the Titans will be immediately is, all
two
right,
go for
we're
years.
In. Two go for years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they're
not worried about 2027 at that point. You're worried about
two
now.
Go for yeah. years, yeah, that are pre-stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
You
right.
know, and you might sell some PSLs for the stadium, you know, prematurely, so to speak, when your go-for-it years come before the stadium.
Yeah, you blow it and win the Super Bowl before you get the new stadium. My God, yeah. What's wrong with you people?
You should have waited.
Part of the parade route
Slow
will be in the
this.
New stadium.
Slow this thing down.
We'll parade around the new stadium after winning it. It'll be fine.
We will finish in the shell of the new stadium.
We're selling PSLs for that also.
615-737-1025. More with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds today. 6:50 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Coverage available on 94.9 The Fan and the 94.9 The Fan app. Sounds Baseball presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Rex Road continuing to just rip Tom Brady during the break.
Taking every
possible chance you can get to rip Brady, you will take.
I wasn't ripping him. Like I said,
it's a little hurtful.
I think that Peyton Manning's highest level as a QB was better than his. So I get that he has more rings. But he came up because Dwight said Jared said he and Brady agree about QBs like they best buds.
Yeah, I mean, two of the great football quarterbacking minds
of all time. Tom Brady, Jared Stillman, right here. I hit the microphone.
I mean, it's not the least bit surprising that Jared would, you know, talk of the two of them at the same level.
I'd like to see Belichick handling Jared for, you know.
Yeah, be a good one.
You know, Bill and I think of a lot of things the same way.
May not be good anymore. Stocks dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
On both of them.
Yeah.
But so Bill is going to be – weekly? Is that weekly. Right with the Manning cast? Weekly. He's going to be on it every time.
Yes. On the Manning cast? Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
The whole thing?
And the No.
Okay, so he'll be a weekly. He'll have a weekly one time.
They need to have less guests.
I agree.
It's overrated on the guests.
Better when it's just those two.
Yes. Yeah,
it is. I mean, sometimes a guest, if it's a really good, funny guest, you know, fine. But even like when they had Will Ferrell, it's like, okay, all right. Will Ferrell on the roast, too, for Brady. I mean, I love Will Ferrell, but. I mean, the Anchorman jokes are kind of tired.
20 years old.
Not kind of tired. Yeah. Look at you pussyfooting around. Not
I have my
tired.
Own opinion, okay? So if my opinion is not exactly your opinion, don't worry about it.
But that's a
They're
good
kinda
opinion.
They're kind of tired.
That's a good opinion.
So you have to say, super tired.
It's weak.
Okay.
Don't have your opinion. Well, just
like the rant.
Yeah,
everything's very milk toast.
Right. There's no gray area for Paul Kuharsky. No gray area. Either awesome or sucks. You know who else is like that? Yeah, I can think of another person who's just like that, Robbie.
On a lot of things, there's gray. But on that, go all the way. They're tired.
I love Anchorman. I still would watch the movie Anchorman if it came on.
Yeah.
Some of the jokes, you can move on from some of them.
Yeah, all of them.
I mean, we are approaching 20 years, right? Like, it's probably
– I love Lamp. Still works, though. I love Lamp. Okay?
It's good. Oh, man. PK, what questions – let me ask it this way. There's a lot of thoughts in the immediate aftermath of the Vrabel firing, the press conference with Rand Carthon did not go well. I think we would all admit that. He was put in a bad situation. Maybe Adam Strunk should have been up there answering questions. From that point until now, given everything they've done this offseason, the aggressiveness, the money they spent, everything we've talked about, what do you think Rand Carthon has proven in this offseason as general manager of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think it's hard to argue with the offseason that they've had. You know, it's collaborative. Obviously, Brinker was highly involved in some of these moves. Snead, for sure. You know, at least one other where he was friendly with the agent. So, you know, they emphasize collaboration. It's clearly been collaborative. I think it's worked the way they wanted it to so far. But you can't mark it down in pen as to how it's gone in May. You know, the team that wins free agency, lots of years the Titans have sat back and said, that team over there that won free agency isn't going to look so good in September. So you can't now, when they're the team that wins free agency in May, say, woo, that's it. We've won free agency, when they've been critical of the team that won free agency for the 20 years prior.
No, but you're talking about people who aren't in the organization anymore, right, in some cases.
Yes, but it's been from ownership on down, you know. So, look, if this thing pans out the way it could, you know, with everything going right, it'd be fantastic. Odds of everything going right are low.
Yes. Super low. But, you know, to your point, we talk about the stadium in 2027. That will be determined by what we don't know, which is how they're drafting.
Yeah.
How was last year's draft class? Is Karansi going to be great? Is Latham going to be great? Is Spears going to have longevity, whatever. I mean, all these questions. That's what 27 will be dictated by, was these draft classes that they're stacking right now.
And
that's why John Robinson's tenure was really good for a while and then really bad.
Yep.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at with Carthon. You know, I think it's premature to give him a chef's hat and say, man, this guy can cook.
Andrew gave him a chef's
hat. Because, yeah, and I know Andrew's about theater. You know, and I just think it's silly. We got caught up in the In J-Rob We Trust only to see it go down in flames. So why must it be, here I'll be gray, Joe, why must it be it's either great or it sucks? Why can't we just say it looks good right now? Let's see how it goes for a while, and then we'll determine if he gets a sheriff's badge or not. Or a chef's hat or whatever.
I was going to say both.
Whatever.
Wow. How exciting would that be? A chef's hat and a sheriff's badge.
Yeah, and you put the badge on the hat instead of on the lapel in a new thing. I'm creating a new thing.
Yeah. Cooking bread and water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't know on a lot of this stuff. We have to wait and see. And it's an incremental thing. So let's judge it on increments.
Nick on YouTube, by the way. On a side note, Paul. How are you enjoying that new white F-150? Have we determined something here?
Listen.
We figured it out.
There are a lot of
got his new F-150.
There are a lot of unlikely things in the world. And me driving a pickup truck is right at the top of the list.
Oh, I'd pay to
what
see
am
it.
I hauling around?
I don't know.
My kid, when he was little, wanted me to get a pickup truck just for Christmas, just so the Christmas tree could come home in the bed of a truck.
I mean, it's very useful.
I am the most unlikely truck guy ever.
But you are a type of guy who would pull into traffic and flip somebody off and pretend it's their fault. I mean, a lot of the story wouldn't work for you.
We may have come up with something.
I come from a place. Listen, I have said this over and over. There are two kinds of drivers. Drivers who want to go and drivers who want to stop. Yeah. I come from a place where people want to go. And I wish people down here wanted to go. But you watch people up here pull into a traffic circle, and you see what kind of people there are here. There are people who want to stop.
Well, as someone who's never been in an accident as a driver, because I'm a defensive driver.
Oh, boy.
I'll stick with that.
I wish you wouldn't have said
that. Stick with wanting to stop. Ugh.
I know. I'm screwed now.
You want to stop?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about. But all I know is I'm a defensive driver. So if you drive like people from New Jersey drive all the time. That's why we have accidents.
I've also been in no accidents that were my fault. I've gotten
that were my fault. There we go. That's the rub.
Gotten smoked
twice. What can I do if people are hitting me? It's because they're idiots. I can't avoid being on the road with idiots. I live in Nashville.
Someone on the text line calling for Mr. Ivy League and Baloney Head. I forgot about that show. That is a great
concept. Ivy League and Baloney Head?
Mr. Ivy League
is
and Baloney
Is that a well-named show? I think we could do better if we workshop it for a while.
I don't know. That's pretty good. I need Dennis to bring out the illustration again.
You boys have fun out there on the Titans practice field today. I'm looking forward to your reports out there. Should be fun.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. You got a race to get to be the one that gets the video out of sweat. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock the locks.
Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Appreciate you guys joining us as you do every single week. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.